If you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. As you turn there, I just want to talk to you about the Spirit. We'll be talking about the Spirit as we look through the book of Acts. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon individuals at isolated times or small groups, and God would use them on these special occasions, and it usually was only temporary to accomplish God's purpose. But as the apostles and the other Christ followers gathered in Jerusalem, as we've been talking about, the time had come for Christ to fulfill His promise to send the Spirit completely and permanently on all believers. And it's on this day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit indwells the followers of Christ. And it's on this day of Pentecost, folks, that God just doesn't merely show up. God shows out. He does. And so let's read about this morning from Acts chapter 2. If you would stand with me as I read. Beginning verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Let's pray. God, You are an amazing God that still desires to move in our lives and in the life of our church. And Father, we want to see that happen. And so Father, as we continue to walk through the book of Acts, help us see, Father, what we're to do and how we're to follow You, so that God, You can move through us and through the life of this church to continue Your purpose to draw people to Jesus Christ so that they may be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we move through the Gospels and into Acts, and as you read through Acts, the Holy Spirit becomes a major part of the conversation throughout this book. Now, Jesus talked about it. He talked about the giving of His Spirit, and one day it would come. But we see it, and we hear about it, and we read about it all through the book of Acts. Because now, folks, as it was then, the Holy Spirit makes a big difference in the lives of those who follow Jesus Christ. In our lives, and as the followers and messengers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, folks, is the most untapped and underestimated power that we have at our disposal. I don't think we fully comprehend the power of the Spirit and what it can do in our lives to transform us into the image of Christ, but also to do what God calls us to do. It's an amazing thing that God has placed in our lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings power to our prayers. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life to our worship and strength to our ministry and wisdom to our walk and discernment to our relationships. It's the Holy Spirit that brings courage to our fears. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings security to our future. It doesn't matter how hard the earth trembles or rumbles. The Holy Spirit can do even mightier things in our lives if we will just yield ourselves to Him. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is, folks, more than just an isolated miracle. It is the beginning of the church and its kingdom ministry to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. A mission, folks, that still exists for us today. It still exists. Nothing changed from Acts to Worcester on February 20th, 2011. The same mission is still there, to share the gospel from here to the ends of the earth. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, the first thing I want us just to look at verse 1 and talk about this day of Pentecost. What is this day of Pentecost? We talked a little bit about it last Sunday evening. We talked about how Pentecost means 50. And it's on the 50th day after the Passover that Pentecost is celebrated. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. It would become to be recognized by the Jews as that moment that the day that the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. So from the Passover to Mount Sinai. And there are some interesting comparisons as you look at Old Testament and New Testament comparisons of Pentecost. A couple of things I just want to share with you that sort of help sort of bring some light to what's going on here, and you see God's hand at work and His purpose at work, and it's not just random. His plan is seen throughout His Word. Because, see, in the Old Testament Pentecost, it occurs 50 days after the Passover lamb was slain, the blood was spread over the doorpost. We all remember that story. It happened 50 days after the Passover. On the day they recognized that Moses went up and received the law from God on the mountain. Now what's interesting is the New Testament Pentecost occurred 50 days after Christ arose. Jesus was slain during the Passover celebration, and he spent 40 days after his appearing, after his resurrection, visiting with different followers and different disciples. And then 10 days after he ascended is Pentecost, which is where we are this morning. Add 40 days and 10, what do you get? It's 50. Still that way. Good. Good. Old Testament Pentecost celebrated the birth of a nation, Israel. New Testament Pentecost celebrates the birth of the church. Old Testament Pentecost, at the end of it, if you read in Exodus, there were 3,000 slain because of their disobedience and blasphemy. But then you move to the New Testament Pentecost, and 3,000 people give their lives to Christ as they hear the wonders of God in their own language. Listen to how the Old Testament Pentecost is described in Exodus chapter 19, beginning of verse 16. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. We all know about that kind of stuff, don't we? And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And then you move forward to Acts and the day of Pentecost, and you read that says there in verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Do you see the comparisons? You see the similarities of what happened in Old Testament times as God continued to move, and as we see in the New Testament times how God continues to move. And you know what it tells me? It's that God likes to move. He likes to move. And whether we're talking about Old Testament Pentecost or New Testament Pentecost, one thing is certain, it was the day that God moved, and He still wants to move today. He still wants to move. And folks, I would love to see that. I think we do see times where God moves in our lives and He helps direct us and cause us to flee if we need to flee situations. But I want to see a mighty movement of God like we saw at Pentecost. Something like that. I would love to see something like that. Now let's look at what exactly happens here. We just got done reading there in verses 2 through 4. And for me, I call this the miracle of Pentecost. as you look at these passages of Scripture, because it's the promised moment that Jesus' followers had been waiting for. It finally arrived, this miracle. And I want you to think for a moment. Do you think the apostles and the followers of Jesus Christ thought it would happen like this? Do you think they ever imagined that when the Holy Spirit came, and this is something they've been waiting for, do you think they thought it would happen like this? Probably not. You know, it's neat. You know, when God moves many, many times, and probably most of the time, you could say, He moves in ways we could never imagine. Things that we could never fathom, because, you know, when God moves, it's God moving. That's just the way He likes to do things. He likes to do them on a God-sized scale. Things that our little finite minds can't ever fathom, but God does it. And then when they happen, we think, man, that was God. That was God. Unmistakably, that was God. And as you look at verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And folks, this was not some cool breeze on a summer day. This wind shook the house. I mean, it was violent. You've been around violent winds, and they shake things and sway things over, you know, trees, bend them over and knock things over. This was a violent wind, the wind of God. He was moving. Now, I'll share with the Wednesday night crowd. See, I'm going to share this with you, but you miss good things when you don't come on Wednesday night to prayer meeting. But I shared the story Wednesday morning at 8:38. I was in here, like I do a lot of mornings during the week. I was in here praying. And at 8:38, while I was praying, this building began to shake. It was cool. I'm just going to tell you, it was cool. Now, it was a little scary. It didn't last very long. But it was one of those little earthquakes we've been having lately. Have y'all heard about that? We had 9:15 when the choir was singing. So, I mean, this place was shaking. There was something obviously going on here. God was obviously moving amongst the people. And it wasn't just some cool little breeze. It was a violent wind. It shook the place. It probably startled them a little bit. And the imagery of the wind, folks, though, is so good at this, because the Holy Spirit is much like that. In fact, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, it means wind, spirit or wind. And the spirit moves just like the wind. See, we can see, I can look out the window right now, and I can see those little limbs on that bush out there moving in the wind. Now, I don't see the wind, but I see the effects of the wind, don't I? And we see the wind moving and doing things all around us. We see the effects of it. We don't really see it doing, see the wind blowing, but we see the effects. And that's the way with the Spirit. We see the Spirit's effect in people's lives, and we see the Spirit moving. We don't necessarily see it with our eyes, but we see what's going on. But this was not only just a miracle of sound, with hearing and seeing, or what was like a violent wind. We also see it was sort of a miracle of sight, because look what happens in verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Tongues of fire. Now, get that one in your mind for a second. Tongues of fire. Why in the world would they describe it this way? And I got to thinking, well, think about what God has called on them to do. He has called on them to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth in the power of His Spirit. The tongue symbolizes what? Speech. Of spreading the gospel, and the fire symbolizes that purification process that happens in the life of a believer as the Spirit moves in them and shapes them and purifies them to be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. And for you and I, the message we preach and the purity of our lifestyle is extremely important to our mission as believers and as His church. What we say and how we live, what our life is like on the inside, is extremely important to what God can do through us. And this miracle of the Spirit fulfilled what John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11. We talked about it last week when he said, I baptize with water for the forgiveness of sins, but one will come, Jesus will come, and He will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. It'd be neat if John could have been there that day. We all know what happened to him. But can you imagine, would John the Baptist have been in that room? I told y'all it'd be with the Spirit and with fire. I told you. And look what happens in verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, folks, this was a miracle from heaven. This was an amazing thing. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know any other languages other than English and a little bit of Australian. Think about that one. You'll laugh about that later. But what this was a spirit not of just some utterances that nobody could comprehend. It was people speaking in other languages and other dialects that folks that were in town for the Passover or Pentecost meeting and gathering, they could understand. They begin to understand their own languages. That's a miracle, folks. That is a miracle from God. It filled all of them and enabled them to do this unthinkable thing. Again, God showing up and showing out in a way that only God can. And God still does miracles today through the Spirit. He still does miracles through the Spirit to convict and draw people to Himself, changing lives through His Spirit. Changing lives that are bound for hell, that are destined for hell, and God calls and He draws us to Himself and He shares with us and shows us how much His grace and mercy He has poured out on us and how much of His love He has shown to us through His Son Jesus. And when someone hears about that and sees that lived out in the people and they respond to that, giving their lives to Christ, folks, that is a miracle. A miracle. It's unlike anything that we think we could dream up. It is a life that it's almost like a resurrection. A life that is doomed to death and hell that is raised to walk in newness of life. Life that is in Christ. That is a wonderful miracle. We see this day of Pentecost happen. God's Spirit pours out on His people, and we see this miracle of Pentecost occur through those that were following Christ. But let's look at the effect of what happens. Look at verse 5. It says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?'" Now, why that question? Well, they shouldn't know all these languages. They're just old Galilean fishermen. They shouldn't know these languages and other dialects. See, the Pentecost celebration, and this is so neat how God works. People from all over the known world at that time who had been scattered through exile and through persecution were gathering to celebrate this Pentecost day. And as Luke would share through 9/11, and I'm not going to butcher all those names again, but there are all these different countries of people that are represented from all the known world, all the known nations at that time. And they're there. So what God does is He just sort of sets the table, this melting pot of people. And we're going to see the purpose of all this. And He reveals to them, the wonders of God, as it says there. If you look there in verse 11, after Luke tells all the details, he says, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." The wonders of God. I mean, this is sort of a complete reversal of the Tower of Babel, isn't it? There they were confused and scattered, and here everyone's together and they understand. And they hear the wonders of God. It makes me wonder as I read this, what were they saying? I would like to have had a recording of that. What were some of the wonders of God they were sharing? I mean, think about it for you. If you were to declare the wonders of God, what would you say? Share with me. What is a wonder of God that you would like to declare this morning? Love. Creation. Anybody else? Over here. Anybody over here want to declare something, a wonder of God? Salvation. A risen King. Anybody else? grace. Folks, there are multitudes upon multitudes of things that are just wonderful about God that we can share. Now, I know that I'm sure all of you have them. You just don't want to share them out loud, and that's perfectly all right. But God moved in the lives of these followers of Christ. The Spirit was moving in their lives, and they declared the wonders of God. And you know, just like our earthquakes that are happening around today, what does it do? I mean, everybody's got their opinion about what's happened, don't they? You talk to all kinds of different people, you get all kinds of different opinions about, you know, whether it's fault of this or fault of that, or, you know, there's all kinds of opinions floating around, and it brings questions, and that's what happens here. They had questions, and it happens today when things happen that make us uncomfortable, don't they, when we can't explain it? I mean, we all would like an explanation, a concrete, tried and true explanation to why our ground seems to rumble every couple of hours. Because it makes us uneasy. It makes us uncomfortable. It brings a little hint of fear into our lives. You know, this would be a good time for one of them to come, wouldn't it? And these people, they heard, and it says here, they were amazed and perplexed. They wanted answers. I mean, they asked the question, what does this mean? They wanted an answer. I mean, God was moving and in their lives, and it stirred up even a little controversy, because in verse 13 it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, oh, they've just had too much to drink. So something happens here. God moves. Some people want to know what's happening. Some people just make accusations. Let me ask you a question. When you hear about God moving in a church, or you see and hear about God moving in the life of a person, how do you respond? Do you respond with curiosity and wonder? Or do you respond with accusations? Ah, that's just them such and such filling the denomination. That's just the way they are. It's all just conjured up. All, you know, so-and-so, you know, he's been a good friend, but, you know, he just, you know, I think he's on drugs or something. He just don't normally act like that. It can't be anything spiritual or godly. It'll go away. He'll be back to his old self eventually. I mean, how do we respond when we hear about God moving in people's lives? What about when a preacher says, I would love to see God move in our church like He did at Pentecost? What comes to your mind? I mean, do we say, yes, rain down, Lord Jesus, come, move? Or do we think, yeah, that would be nice, but, you know, just a little bit. I don't want too much. I want to still be in control. Or do we say, you know what, that's more than I signed on for, sorry. I don't want any of that. I'm happy with just the way things are. I don't want to see God move. I'm happy right here being stagnant and dead. How do we respond? I mean, do we really, truly want God to move? See, I'm afraid sometimes I think we're afraid to say or even think for a moment that we would love to see God really move in our lives, because I think we're afraid of what God might call us to give up. Because we gather around ourselves friends and ideas and things and possessions that make us comfortable. Now, sometimes God moves in our lives and we have to give up stuff. Things that don't honor God. Things that keep God from moving freely in our lives. And I think that's what keeps us from seeing God move many times. Is we have clutched on to things of this world so tightly that God can't move in our lives. We're feeding ourselves so much instead of feeding our spirit that dwells within us. And we're just content to be right where we're at. The effects that we see here at Pentecost is and empowering of God's disciples. We see the wonders of God spoken in multiple languages. We see a desire for an explanation. We see the rise of controversy. But that's not the only effect of this miracle at Pentecost. You see God's purpose continue because the miracle of Pentecost set into motion God's mission to take the Gospels to the ends of the earth. I mean, as you look back at this, what better time for the followers of Jesus to preach a message to the community when so many from all over the world were gathered into one place? God was at work, folks. This just wasn't, He didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think today's it. No. He saw that day. He said, you know what, there are going to be thousands of Jews, God-fearing Jews from all over the known world that are going to be in there in that one place. And I'm going to show them what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to have the Spirit of God in your life. And then I'm going to fill myself or fill these followers with myself so that they can proclaim the wonders of God. And folks, what could be a better natural response to being filled with the Spirit than to bring glory to God? And as we do that, as we bring honor to God with what we say and how we live our lives, people will begin to ask questions and wonder what is going on in your life that you're able, no matter what's going on, to declare the wonders of God, the praises of God, that you seem to be in love with God. I don't see that in every believer, every person that claims to be a Christian. You seem to have a passion for God. You want to know Him more. You want to spend time with Him. That is not normal. It may not be normal, but that is what God desires from our lives. It's to follow Him wholeheartedly and allow Him to fill us and to quit feeding that old selfish nature and to follow Him and to bring glory to His name through everything that comes from ourselves. That's what He desires. God wants to move in our lives. He wants to move. He wants to move in our church. Do you want God to move in your life? This morning, we were in our prayer time with the men that come, and I invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 7. And as we were praying, the Lord just brought back a little chorus as I thought about today. And it goes like this. God still moves. God still moves. In the hearts of the people, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. God still moves. He does. He still wants to move in our lives, in the lives of His people. God desires to move. And I don't know what it is that is standing in the way of God moving freely in your life this morning, but it is my prayer that you will set it all aside and you will give it to Him and confess it to Him and allow God to move in your life this morning. Will you bow your heads with me, please? If you are in Christ, you have a personal relationship with Him. Let me remind you that God's Spirit is in you. And His Spirit, the Spirit of God, desires to move freely in your life. What we have to ask ourselves is what steps to God do I need to take so that God can move freely in my life? Let me just ask you, are you walking in the Spirit? We talked about that phrase as we studied Galatians a few weeks ago. To live by the Spirit. Are you living by the Spirit today? Are you allowing Him to guide you, to teach you, and empower you, and just simply move in your life? I don't know. Maybe Maybe you're just content with just the same old status quo spiritual life that you have. But let me tell you something. The Christian walk is so much more. It should be our prayer and our desire every single day to have God moving in our lives as we seek to become more like His Son. And we do that by walking with God, by spending time with God, by praying and talking with God, with sharing the wonders of God with people. This is what God desires from us. The thing is He's with us all along the way by His Spirit. He doesn't call us to do something that He will not empower and equip us to do. We just need to faithfully and obediently take those steps to walk with Him. Dear God, I just pray this morning that You would move in our lives.